I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Ian Lee grew up in Beijing. She came to the U.S. in 1996 and has since won acclaim for her fiction writing in English. She has a new book of short stories out next week called Gold Boy, Emerald Girl. Ian, tell us a bit about your own journey from China to the U.S. How did you go from living in China and not speaking English to then writing acclaimed fiction in English and teaching writing now at UCal Davis?
You know, that's just one of those things that you can never find a good explanation in life. I was a science student in China, and I guess when I was in China, my whole goal was to go to an American graduate school for science so I could leave China. And I did, and I landed in Iowa City, Iowa, where there are a lot of writers around.
Very strong writing program there.
That's right. And somehow I just thought maybe I would try writing, so I gave up my science career and enrolled in the writing program, and since then I became a writer.
And I know you didn't really speak English when you came to the United States, but I understand that when you were still in China, your sister encouraged you to watch Baywatch to learn how Americans dress. Were you also learning English too from Baywatch?
You know, I watched Baywatch with the Chinese. It wasn't subtitled, but I was told to watch how American behaved or, you know, talked or dressed. And I didn't speak English, but I could read English when I left China.
And how did that jibe with what you found in Iowa City? Were there some similarities between Baywatch and Iowa City?
Well, quite not the same thing.
Not exactly. You're writing about the Chinese experience, both in China and the U.S., but writing in English only for mostly non-Chinese readers. Do you think the people who read your fiction get the world you're writing about?
Yes, I think you have to trust your readers. I guess my goal is when my readers read these stories, they won't constantly think, oh, this is China. This is so different from America. Or this is, you know, how things work in another world. It's so exotic or strange. And if they are really in the stories, they will forget for a moment that it happens in China. It could happen anywhere in the world.
Now, a lot of the stories in this new collection of fiction called Gold Boy, Emerald Girl, you know, they feature characters who have been disappointed in some way or another by life. What draws you to characters like that?
You know, to me, I think there's my view that everybody lives a secret life and everybody has some secrets. And oftentimes I think people walk in the world or they live in the world in a way they hide those things away. And for a writer, for me, the writer's job is to look at those places where they don't tell you the stories right away and you explore those secrets and see how people, you know, feel lonely or isolated or, you know, disappointed in certain ways. And in a way, I think I'm drawn to these characters because if you look at the stories, you cannot possibly find a villain. You know, you can say this is a villain in the story who does these things to other people. In a way, I think every character in my story takes something from others. Well, others also take things from them. And in the end, like, people rob one another a little bit. And that's the only way people, I mean, not the only way, I think that's one of the ways people connect to each other is to take and be taken from.
The title story in your collection, Gold Boy, Emerald Girl, struck me in particular. You know, three people all facing some kind of disappointment and all three getting used to the idea of spending their lives together. It reminded me of Sartre's No Exit and its dark conclusion that hell is other people. You've got this last line, they were lonely and sad people, all three of them, and they would not make one another less sad, but they could, with great care, make a world that would accommodate their loneliness. And I was just wondering, how much of an element of reality do those lines contain for many people in Beijing today?
That's a very good question. I'm sure that's how people feel. Or I think, like, when I went back to Beijing, I noticed that was so present, that feeling, but people would not admit it. And there were so many ways to deny it. You know, you go to parties, you go to a restaurant to have a good meal, you get drunk, you go to karaoke bars. But I think, again, as a writer, you strip those things away and you look into the characters or you look deep into the people and see what is there, what do they want they don't have. And oftentimes it is the loneliness, you know, it's lack of connection.
You were born in 1972. That was the year that Nixon went to China. You lived through Tiananmen Square. What is it like to live in the U.S. now and watch China changing so fast from the country you knew when you were growing up?
You know, it's like watching your childhood friend all of a sudden becoming very successful and doing all these things that you would not imagine your friend would be able to do. But I think for me is I can still see this friend's childhood, and I can still see where he comes from. And, you know, underneath those successful surface, I could still see his pain or his suffering.
Has your work been translated into Chinese? If it hasn't, do you want it to be?
Officially, no. The work has not been translated. There are some, you know, translations on the internet, but there's no copyright or anything on the internet. You know, at this moment, I would say I don't know if I want my work translated into Chinese. I think out of a very personal concern that my parents still live in China, and I don't want them to read my work or to have to face whatever reaction the readers have and they will be exposed to.
And now when you go back, I mean, given the success that you've experienced here in the United States, does that change how you interact with people in Beijing, how you move about?
No. You know, in a way, I think I'm in a very interesting situation, whereas my success is mostly unknown in China, which suits me very well. So when I'm in China, I'm very anonymous. Because last time I went back to China, I went back with my children. I have two boys. In China, because of the one-child policy, you don't often see a young woman with two children. So I was right away taken as a babysitter. And people treated me horribly when they thought you were a babysitter. And I rather like that. You know, that gave me like an angle to observe how this society, you know, treat people that, you know, otherwise people would be much nicer to me, I imagine.
Yuan Li's new collection of short stories, Gold Boy, Emerald Girl, is out next week. Thanks very much for speaking with us, Yuan.
Thank you very much for having me.